according to some of you, that '92, it was very difficult going back and remembering some of the people that were here. I remember Bly Douglas, of course. But it was quite... So just to give you a little bit of my past, I was born 92 years ago in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I was baptized in the Methodist Episcopal Church. Because in those days, it was always Episcopal, was always added to that. After a while, my father's business took us to a little Quaker town outside of Philadelphia called Westchester. It was on the Underground Railroad, and as some of them I think I've told you, the house that we rented was built by the Sharpless family, who were Quakers that had come over. And so many, some of my friends' parents were still saying these and thous. It was just a lovely little Quaker town. And the big school outset. So we stayed there for, as I said, we had the floor underneath the house where they kept us safe slaves. And when you looked across this beautiful park from where we lived, all the houses there, their settlers all met each other because of the escaped slaves. It was on the, I had a picture of the Underground Railroad. Well, that's enough of that. So my father's business changed, and we moved to Teaneck, New Jersey. Still in the, but I was just telling to Tim that when we went to church, my mother always said, "Now you listen to the sermon. It's a story, and you've got to tell me what the story was after church." So boy, did we listen, that's for sure. Otherwise, we didn't get much of a lunch after that. It was a good experience. But then I found that I was also very involved in the Baptist church, because I had a group of friends at high school that were Baptists and encouraged me to come to some of their services. And boy, did they sing those old hymns that were just very exciting and wonderful. But then I found that because I was going to marry somebody that was going to be an Episcopal priest, I had to become an Episcopalian. So I was confirmed Brooks, Phillips Brooks Old Church in Boston, Copley Square. Loved it there. It was just wonderful. So after that, we came to San Francisco in 1966. We were at Grace Cathedral for 2 years, and then I moved to St. Mary's in 1968. A single mother with 4 children, 3 sons and a daughter, so welcomed by St. Mary's. There was such warmth and love here. It was really, Father Fowler was just wonderful. My children said, "Mother, his sermons are kind of boring." But my mother said, "But he preaches the gospel, just like David does." And that was it.
Mine are boring, but I preach the gospel.
You are boring, but Father Fowler wasn't. But there were wonderful people here. Somebody once said about that a clergyman has one song to sing, and when he's sung that song, he's got to move on. But Richard Fowler had so many variations of it. He taught us to reach out to people. One of the sermons, he had just been to visit the nursing home on Divisadero, and he said to the congregation, "Now you have to go and call on those people. They have no family. They need to..." So we did. We just all went out there, and as a result of that, as you may remember, other churches in the area took over other nursing homes, and we became quite a large group. But that was Richard Fowler. He really... And he's the one that started the organizations. I'm sorry.
And Jan, if I'm correct, it sounds like you started the same year he did, or right around the same time. So you and Fowler showed up at the same time.
No, he was here about a year before I came.
Well, I'm gonna attribute all of Fowler's success to your presence there.
Okay, all right. Let's see. I remember, maybe Rod, you remember if I'm correct. When I first came, it was morning prayer every Sunday with communion, right? Communion may be the first or the third week of the month. But then after that, one morning he said to me, "Now, Jan, I want you to put, after morning prayer, I want you to put the things for Holy Communion up on the pass-through. We're going to do Holy Communion now." So after that, we did have morning prayer briefly, and then we had Holy Communion every Sunday, which, of course, is very special. I joined the Altar Guild, which was very slim at that time. We did have a boss. What was her name?
Be gay.
Beatrice Gay. And if you didn't put things right, you were in trouble. Then I remember very well the year that they were going to retrofit St. Mary's. So we moved into the Presidio. The nice part was there was so much parking. It was wonderful. But Jan Griffin, somebody said, what are they going to do for a altar, that for a lectern? And I said, well, I have just the thing. I'd been away for a while from my second husband, and he had bought this. You see the choir using it now, and for you used it this morning. That was a lectern that we used in there. But it was the altar guild. There was no water in the Presidio, so the altar guild had quite a challenge. In order to wash the purificators, we had to have a bucket of water, and every Sunday after the service, we would wash them. Then one Sunday, because Lent was coming, another Walter Gill, your wife and I, went on the back steps of the Presidio to burn the palms from the Sunday year. And as we were burning, a breeze came and lifted them right up to the sky. And fortunately, we were able to put them up. We could just see the headlines, St. Mary the Virgin burns down the Presidio. But when we came back here, it was a delight, but it was heartbreaking too, because we had this brand new sacristy, and there was a hole that came in the back door, and somebody had taken the cloth and put fire to them, put them through, and so the smoke ruined many of our beautiful altar hangings from that. Mm-hmm. It was very heartbreaking, but it was nice to be back here. There were some wonderful people here that I'm trying to remember their names. Edith Williams. Mm-hmm. She's the one that brought the family from, remember that? But she also was a wonderful seamstress. She made covers to the altar. You remember her very well. She was quite a wonderful woman, that's for sure. The first year that I was here, the second year, I guess, I became part of vestry very briefly. We had some challenges. Very soon after that, the new prayer book was introduced. A lot of people didn't like it, so we were afraid that we would lose. We lost a very few, but not too many. The one that really challenged us, of course, was Bill Barkas. We had some wonderful clergymen there, especially the one that helped me tremendously. Now, what was it? I don't remember his name, because he did. My children were fatherless. He took over and helped. I can't. Oh, I want to remember David Simmons. Do you remember him? The wonderful. He was just terrific, and he was our parish secretary. He was a Roman Catholic, but he loved everybody in the parish. If somebody was sick, he would send them a note, he would call them up, and when he died suddenly, he just was so sad to all of us. But I'm interrupting myself now, I can't think of where I was. Oh, when Bill Barkas decided to come out of the in the pulpit, what he had done was he arranged for somebody from the newspaper to come. So it was quite a. We did lose a few people then. Remember that, Ron? Yeah.
The TV, wasn't there?
Yes. Another thing that was very helpful was the 7 o'clock service every Wednesday morning, and Rod got it starting. Have each person was you?
No, it was a going thing before.
Well, it was somebody that got each of the people that came. To choose a famous person, a Christian if not, to talk about every Wednesday morning. And Joe Pummel and his wife came, and it was the Father Fallon that married them after that one, the service. I hope they're all right. I haven't talked to them for a while. Let me see now. I'm sorry, I'm losing my place.
Well, I have questions for you, Jan,
yes,
so you don't
have
to fill it all up. this is the conversation. I appreciate your homework, but... So if I understand correctly, you came to St. Mary's because there's sort of a tragedy in your family and you needed a place to call your faith home. And,
right.
and so you came here as a single mom with four kids.
That's right.
And this community came around and supported you.
Very
I
much.
Love that.
Yeah.
And so give me that. Let's talk about all the things that you have blessed us with in terms of your time here at volunteering. So you've been on the Altar Guild since Mary was, Mother Mary was on it as well.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
You were a vestry member.
I was.
I know that you're a preacher at the 7 a.m. and now the Wednesday noon Eucharistic services.
Yeah, we take turns.
What other things have you done here that I don't know about?
Choir. Yeah.
Okay, Nancy.
So
your handbell choir. Yep, you were a handbell.
Oh yes, the choir too.
Oh, an adult choir.
I joined the choir, and we were all there with my children when the bells arrived. And so my children, we were all bell ringers, which was just great fun. On to that.
Daughters of the King.
Daughters of the King, yes.
I'm also thinking of the Pastoral Care Committee.
Yes, and you're a member of
our
Pastoral Care Committee.
That's when they started, yeah. And it was Eleanor Bissell that started that.
It was Friendly Visitors, remember? Initially, at Golden Gate.
So initially the Pastoral Care?
That's what I was
talking
about.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, we all went out to, yes, did that, absolutely. No, my Pastoral Care Committee. There was another committee that we were watching over, because we had food, which we would deliver to some of the special organizations here. So this organization, Pardive, we went out and visited all these places that we were going to deliver food to see how well they used the food. Well, that was another one I joined. And I taught Sunday school. My youngest son and I taught Sunday school, too, for a while.
Foyer group.
Oh, absolutely. Wonder our foyer group is still going. I think some of them still, and they're starting again.
So Jan's like the Holy Spirit. She's everywhere in all places at all times.
Hardly. Well, I'm very blessed because there was such wonderful spirit here. There was such love. I feel like I shouldn't follow Tim's talk yet. Last time was just such inspiring, but I just loved St. Mary's Church. It was just. We had our problems at times, from time to time, but Richard Fowler was always so, greet each other, love each other, move, see what you could do to help each other. And of course, Nancy was wonderful too, becoming a wonderful person that she, I watched her through her training. We had a lot of wonderful people that came here. Can you remember some more, Rod?
Well, now, so let's. I want to hear your story, not other people's story. So now I'd like to sort of expand and hear about you more. You in particular, Jan. Can you share with us one of the earliest memories you have of God's love?
Back in Westchester, every Sunday night, we would sit in front of the fireplace, this huge room. My mother would pull in the tea wagon with hot chocolate and come. And then my father would read stories from the Bible with Duray's illustrations, which are kind of frightening. Albert Duray, I don't know whether you're familiar with them. They're kind of scary. But there was such a sense of God's love coming through those stories. And this family, we were all bound there together. And then after that, we would go to the Epworth League at night. We were always supposed to memorize the Bible story, a new one every Sunday night. My brother, all he could remember was, the devil goeth around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I kept going, get a new one. But that was my first sense. And at home, we were really quite a Christian family. There were morning prayers, there were evening prayers. It was a great sense of love that my parents. My mother played the organ, father sang in the choir, and I was part of the choir there too. There was just such a loving sense in the family of God's love that I could feel it. And at night time, when we would say our prayers at night, there were always prayers straight to the Lord. You just knew he was answering.
So your family prayed together morning and night?
We did.
But that's, it wasn't out of the Book of Common Prayer. You were. It's just a family tradition.
Just
Methodist Episcopal.
That's Methodist Episcopal. Yeah.
Sure.
But no, we were taught early to be able to pray extemporaneously. So it's never bothered me to be able to do that. It seems like a natural thing to do.
Yeah.
And I know God listens. That's for sure.
Now, do you have another moment from your adult life where you really have felt the presence of God, either receiving or even participating in it?
Well, the year that I moved into the Heritage, my middle son died very suddenly. He was a very talented he was a very talented maker of musical instruments. In fact, I joined the choir here, we were going to do a Bach cantata. And at that first, when I first came, it was Michael. Before Michael, it was, I can't think of the man's name. Do you remember?
Dale Wood.
Michael said to me, "We need a harpsichord." I said, "We do have one." Mark had just made a harpsichord, and so we rolled it into the church, tuned it up, and we sang the Bach cantata with Mark's harpsichord. When he died, I had a great sense that. I think that beautiful prayer that the black bishop did about what is death with the ship moving on. It's not here, but on the other side, welcome, come, come. And it was just knowing that Mark was welcome with such a sense of God's love at that point. Sorry, I get a little bit emotional, but
of course you do.
But this church has meant so much to me, all of you. The Sunday school, wonderful people there, this is what we're doing now. So I guess that's it.
Well, never. I still got 5 minutes. We're going to fill up more stories. Is there another story where you have that is unique to your experience with St. Mary's? Is there a time, not just receiving God's grace here at St. Mary's, but you feel that you were really a part of extending it? Or is there another opportunity that you can tell where you really sort of witnessed God's presence through St. Mary's?
I felt that very much when we had the marriage of the two men.
Oh, lovely.
That was a wonderful service. How many were here for that? Wasn't it wonderful?
I think we've only done one, haven't we?
Chip and John.
All of the instruments up on the balcony, all this noise that they come in. And it was a beautiful service. I was really very touched by that, and I knew God was there. The real sense of his presence, blessing this marriage. Oh, and then I was married here too. I married.
Oh, yes. Forgot that one, huh? Oh, yeah, I was married here.
I married the widowed father-in-law of my youngest son, John Kleinmouth. I was married here, Father Fowler, and Jan Griffin. Who remembers Jan Griffin? We! Her sermons were the funniest could be, but I lived underneath her, and she loved cats. And at night, her cats would go up and down, bum, bum, bum. But she was one. Married here. We had the whole reception all in the garden and all of that, and in here, it was. I asked for name tags because Kleinmouth was a difficult name to pronounce, so I got that. But had a wonderful. But the people just welcomed. First, John was a Roman Catholic. He started up the treat. First of all, and then gradually moved on to St. Mary's. And became such a part of St. Mary's that he was a good Episcopalian after that.
How long were the two of you married?
He was much older than I, and he had worked during the war at Mare Island with asbestos.
Oh.
So we only had him about 7 years. But
I'm so sorry.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We had a wonderful, wonderful... The thrill to me was he lived in Vallejo, and when he came in here, he had never heard heard a symphony, he had never heard a ballet, and so in all these things, I gave it to him, and I remember in one of them, I think it was Swan Lake, the tears just played on his face. It was wonderful, but he became a good Episcopalian.
Do you have any more husbands that I don't know about?
No, that's it. Thank you very much for listening to me.
We're not done. I got more questions. I got at least 4 minutes I want to know about you. So, Jan, how do you pray?
Constantly.
Constantly. I love that. I love that.
Well, when I walk, we have... another thing that I became part of with the Eucharistic visitors.
Yes.
So I take communion to the heritage the second Sunday of every month. But walking... So when I get a chance, I'm not good at walking much anymore with my problems, but when I walk, that's the time I pray too. I just feel God is right there. And always is here in St. Mary's. The Lord is here. But he is wherever I go. My sad part is that my children are all like preacher's kids out of church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're wonderful. They're loving people, but church is not one of theirs. But... That's all right.
Jan, when I look at you, you inspire me so much. And I really hope to be you someday. And what I mean by that is that you've lived a long and full life with a lot of joy and a lot of pain. And yet, if someone had to say, what one word would you use to describe Jan Bowles? I would say joyful.
Yeah. I hope so.
So my question is that how do you continue to be a person of joy?
Because I have so much to be blessed for. God is so good to me. St. Mary's is so good to me. My friends, After my son died at the Heritage, I stayed in my room for a couple of days, came out, and Joe just threw his arms around me. The whole group was very conscious of my loss, and so they were just loving, and I was joyful because I had so much to be thanked. And this lady, with her bell crier and all, I am so blessed that she lets me play the bells because I love the Marwa. It's wonderful. No, there's so much to be joyful. Beautiful weather. I just came back from the East, from visiting people there, including I love my story of my grandson. My daughter, we were visiting museums in Washington, D.C. and New York City, and my daughter took my wheelchair along so she could push me around. Well, in one of them in Washington, I needed the exercise. I put my 6'2" grandson in the wheelchair, wheeled him around, and if you could have seen the looks on people's faces. My daughter got some pictures. It was really funny.
You need to share me one. Let me ask you this last question, and then I'm just so grateful for this opportunity to have this conversation formally. What's your great hope for God's work here at St. Mary's and in this community of faith?
I think the reaching out to each other, to realize some people have had pain, some people are just reach out to them. And if they have pain, just say, I feel for you. You know, God's here with you. And being part of the pastoral care committee, I always send out that wonderful prayer about what is death to the people who have lost someone. Mm. But there's so much to be joyful for.
Yeah.
I mean, each other, the love in your faces, and being here. I just am so grateful. And thank you for you, David.
Jen, you are such a blessing to us, to me personally, to this church corporately. I'm so grateful for you. And thank you for sharing your story.
Well, thank you for listening.
All right, with that, I would say thank you all. Spread the good word of these story sharings, and we'll see you either at church or at the barbecue.